ocean sounds a new beginning. As distant hearts begin believing, redemption's bid is unrelenting. Your love goes on. Your love goes on. Something that I've been struggling with this week. So, you know, sometimes you find yourself just kind of stuck and feeling lost. If you remember the hope, keep the courage, it'll get you through.
Hold on. coming. This song is called Healer, and it's really easy to think about it as like a physical healing, and there's a ton of that that needs to go on, I know, in this congregation. But let's think of it also as like that internal spiritual healing that's so important that keeps us going every day. I know I get in cycles, and they might last 6 months long. Some of them last longer than that. Some of them are shorter. But I just need to experience some kind of healing in my life to feel closer to God again. He's never further away from me, but I'm great at pushing Him away from being close. And healing is something that happens in revelation from God in the spiritual life, where the things that burden us and the things that come against us just go away because He shows you that they're already gone, that they're already taken care of. And that revelation, while it happens every day, sometimes we only experience it at the end of our cycle, and we're back again, we're healed again. And that's what I take this song to
me. Nothing is impossible.
Been healed, it feels good to go out and tell people about it, which is kind of what this song's about.
Thank you.
for today. Thank you for letting us be healed. And thank you for letting us go out and be able to tell people.
Try that. There we are. Now we're on. Woo! When we started this morning, all 10 of us, you know, you can allow things to get in your vision and way of your thinking. And as I began worshiping, like, man, aren't you glad that doesn't matter how many people are in the seats, that these guys came and gave their gift and led us this morning in an opportunity to the King of Kings and the throne room of God. We take that for granted at times, that we are ushered in there each and every week because of people willing to give their gifts. So our ushers are coming this morning. We'll be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. So grateful and thankful for each and every person that gives of time, their talents, their funds. Kind of give you a little update on the Doc Holliday Festival. I told you my feeding of the 5,000. It was a little bit of a scary venture. I can proudly say we did not lose a dime. Now, you may have thought I was going to tell you we made a bunch of money. That was not the goal. The goal was to give a service to our community and not kill ourselves in the process. Now, I did have a few volunteers that overdid it, gave way too much of themselves, and thank you for those of you who gave, and we learned a lot of things. So next year, we are planning to do one next year. There will be opportunity, hopefully, then to make a little funds in the fundraising aspect of it, but continue to give back to our community. Lord, I thank you for this offering, the tithes, the offerings, the alms. Lord, that is what is given to those that are in a time of need. Lord, bless it. Multiply it to the furtherment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, cool. It is wonderful to be here. I missed last Sunday. I had the privilege to be able to be relaxing at the beach. And I enjoyed every moment of that. The working of the Doc Holliday Festivals, and I'll have to be honest, I did my very best not to stress and worry, but sometimes I found myself at 3 in the morning stressing and worrying a little bit. So at that moment, what I did is I had to take every thought captive, and I had to retrain my way of thinking and turn on a movie or something else and not think about that stuff and move on to something else, and was able to do that. If you are here this morning visiting for the very first time, thank you for being here. I met a couple that, it's not their first time visiting, but the first time I got to meet them. This morning's message, the series that we've been on is called The Body. And it's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about the body at Eagles Way, EWC people. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that today and some opportunities for you. But if you are a visitor, again, thank you for being here. And I think it's the greatest church in the community. And if you don't have a church home, then I encourage you to consider this to be your church home. And it's awesome. So I called Pastor Buren and talked with him yesterday. Had a couple of things I needed to run by him. And he was changing of the guard. When he went down, he had myself and Jennifer went down, and Ron Walters went down, and then some other family came in, and they were there, and they were leaving yesterday, and he had some other folks that were coming in to see him, and so, but he is relaxing and enjoying, and he said he is doing well. If you have your Bibles with you, or if you just want to look at the screen, whichever one is easier for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll talk about the body. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start reading in verse 12. It says, "The human body has many parts, but as many parts make up the whole body, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. Some come from different denominations, some are UGA, Georgia fans, some like classical music. Some live their lives financially day to day, some have dual residence." Oh, it didn't say quite all of that, but it was talking about the differences of the people in the body of Christ. "But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share that same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' Every body part is needed. Every body part is important, whether it is seen or whether it is not seen." Verse 22 says, "In fact, parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothed with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the whole body together, such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are honored." 2 weeks ago, we brought Tommy Ray Goolsby down, and he had been honored within our state on a national level for some things that he is doing in the reestablishment of felons into our communities. And we all rejoiced, and we were happy for what he had done and the things. And you should feel excited. You should feel great. Eagles Way led an effort, ended up being a lot more people than just Eagles Way, with a Doc Holliday Festival. And it was successful in the fact that it, in the community, it was accepted and liked, and some things happened, and there was revenue brought into our community that helped change some things. And a lot of the leaders were saying, "Man, this can be built upon. It's going to be great for the upcoming years." But the first point I want you to get today is, you are important to EWC. You are important to the body. You are important to this house. Some of you are going, "I'm not that important." Some of you are going, "They don't know if I'm here or not here. I missed 3 weeks, and nobody even knew I wasn't here." Well, that isn't necessarily the case. We don't necessarily call people in on the carpet for missing church. But we, every member, every part is critical. Now, this is fall break week for Spalding County. And with that, this Wednesday night, there's nothing going on campus, so don't show up for children or youth or our adult service. There's nothing happening. We take this week off. And a lot of people have taken this week Sunday off, and they're at the beach. We know several that have traveled and done those things or gone different places. Some may be in the mountains or whatever the case may be. And it's not a sin to miss church, okay? But if you are an important part and you have a part to play in the whole, it is important that you give your part when you have the time and the ability to give your part. Those that are vacating and are resting and they're recouping, and God bless them. You know, you may only be able to take a staycation rather than a vacation, but you know what? Sometimes you got to unplug and you just need that staycation where you can just rest and relax. And that is okay too. But everybody, except for those of us that are required and have to be here on Sunday mornings, has that tendency at times to say, oh, I just don't know if I feel like going this morning. Just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. And those feelings, because we know feelings are neither right nor wrong, it's what we do with those feelings, whether they become right or wrong. And I'm not saying that if you decide that you stay home on a particular Sunday morning that it was wrong. But what I'm saying is in your heart, you need to know that you are crucial. That when you people walk through those doors and they see a smiling face, when they see people giving, when they see those orange shirts working in a children's ministry, that it's encouraging, that it's uplifting. If all you had was me this morning, a cappella, leading you in worship, you'd have been a little discouraged and disappointed, I promise you. Everybody. See, purpose-driven church, there was a purpose-driven life book, there was a purpose-driven youth ministry. One of the key components of the purpose-driven church is that there is three sectors of a church. There's your core, there's your crowd, and then there's your community. Okay? You got the core, the crowd, and the community. And everything you do needs to be pinpointed towards one of those sectors, what you're trying to do. Now, typical Sunday morning church is considered the crowd. Okay? That's everybody that's either the core and those that feel themselves to be a part. The community is the outreach type things that you do. Those friends and neighbors and people that you get in when you have events and those free barbecue and that kind of stuff. Now, what is the difference between the crowd and the core? The difference is just you and the determination that you make that you are. We have people that have been attending and going to this church for 50 years now, 40 years. This is our 50th anniversary celebration year. October 26th will be our next celebration service that you won't want to miss. But in attending, and just because they've been coming for so long doesn't necessarily mean they're part of the core. We have people that have been coming, and as I was praying, I just listed a few of people that are part of the core of this church or are becoming a part of the core of this church and haven't been coming very long. Jim and Janet Lewis are core people in this church. And in just a little while, we're going to have a sacrament of healing, and we're going to lay hands on her. We're going to anoint Janet. She's been diagnosed with cancer and is going to be going through some different things with that prospect of that. But she's part of the core. Barbara Corbett and Lindsay give. They haven't been coming here for years and years and years. But you know what? They jumped in. When we were doing meals on Wednesday night, they were serving and they were giving. and they're crucial. Cheryl and Patrick Berry. Some of these people, you're going, they're core of the church. I don't even know who they are. You know, some of you don't even know all of the pastor's name of the church. It's okay. You don't have to know every person in every way. But the way in which they give and do use their gifts makes them a part. We've got a Greg and a Brandy. And I could kind of almost remember last names, but I wasn't even quite close. But they've been coming a little over a month. But you know what? I'm really close to... They were there all day with us at the Dock Holiday Festival, working and giving and doing. And what makes them, whether they are core or whether they're crowd, they do. We have a Lynn Chambers. A lot of you don't even know who she is. If you're on Facebook or on the prayer team, you know who she is. But she just spearheads a few things and keeps those requests and things moving. That is crucial. A core. You're important to Eagles Way Church. You can turn to Romans chapter 12. Begin reading in verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, you have a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. The whole key to your gifts is that you just identify what your gifts are. What are you good at? What do you enjoy doing? Now, I would not have asked Mr. Jim Lewis to head up my barbecue festival team. That wasn't be his gift, would it, Jim? But let me tell you, he was a vital team member and worker for the last 9 months on that team. And he brought about some things and encouraged people in some things, and even in some of the meetings said, you know, made comments that were like, yes, that helps us. But he knows his place and his part. See, we have a tendency to complicate stuff. Why do we complicate stuff? We complicate stuff because our vision of what we think it should be, or what our gift is, or what we can do, may be not exactly what it is that we can do. If you have the gift to teach, then teach. That doesn't mean you have to be here on Sunday morning to use that gift. You may be teaching in a classroom with kids. You may be teaching in a foyer prior to service, just talking to somebody. Somebody comes in, you start a conversation, they're talking about how their brakes on their car are not working properly, you know how to do it, you can teach them, you do this, and you do this, and you do this. And you have encouraged, and you have uplifted, and you have put into somebody in a 15-minute window prior to a service of what the part of the body that was needed. Holly Brown came up to me the other day. She said, only church I've ever been in that at the start of the service, it's like people that she doesn't know if the cars or door, they wait till the, you know, it's service starts and then they start coming in. She said, amazing to me. It's kind of the DNA of Eagles Way. Why that is, I don't know exactly. We've tried all kind of things to get people here before service starts. We've tried starting 5 minutes late. We've tried doing music before we sang. We tried doing announcements. We tried having it just, you know, 10 o'clock rolls around. 5 after 10, people come in. We just kind of accepted it. It's where it is. But what I'm telling you, someday you're going to miss something. You ought to be here early. Don't complicate your gift. Don't try to do something that you're not called to do. But I am called to do this. I know it's in my heart to do. Well, do it on whatever level you have the opportunity to use it. And as you begin using it, the Word of God says that it will make way for the ministry. The key to that is if you identify and you don't complicate, just start using it. Use that gift. But I'm so busy at work, and I don't have the time that I want, and I would do that, but I just can't do all of it. Listen, we do live in a fast-paced, complicated world where there's lots of stuff that's going on. But one of the things that Jennifer and I, that was a new word. Probably needs to be a new word. Jennifer and I have been working on is how not to let the good steal from the great. There's lots of good things. And I'll be honest with you, it's really more me than it is her. She's good at saying no to stuff that isn't what she feels is the great. I have a tendency to just get in on all of them. And so I'm working on that in my life, in that area. Uncomplicating our lives, keeping it simple. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. You're important to Eagles Way Church. You may not yet have said, I'm a member, sign me up. Or you might have. But if you're coming here on a consistent basis and you consider this to be your church home, you are vital here. We need everybody, not we the staff, not we Pastor Buren and I, we, everybody here needs you to give your gift. Ephesians 4:11-16. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, everybody here, has a part. Everybody here needs to do their work. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Never thought that you might be key to somebody else in here growing. If you don't do your part, guess what? That other person may not grow. Wow. So that the whole body, everybody say whole body. The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy and growing and full of love. How many of you were here the other day when Pastor Buren made the statement, this is the easiest church to pastor? See your hands if you were here when you heard that. This week I was pondering that statement, and I was thinking about this message in the body. I was like, why is it the easiest church to pastor? Why does he feel that way? Whether it is or whether it isn't, why? Sweet Spirit just spoke gently to me and said, you know what? It's because the people in the church are growing up. The first 0 to 5 years of age with your children, wow, isn't that hard? I mean, that's when you're spanking the most. That's when you're up in the middle of the night the most. That's when you're cleaning up spit up and the other stuff. That's when you're, 0 to 5 is tough. Now, there's a little aspect of it that you're in control. They do what you say, for the most part. Then you get this 6 years old to 12 years of old age. And this is the training period. You're having to go over and over. I told you this, you do this because... And you give this full explanation. And then 3 days later, you do this because, and you give this whole explanation again. It's a training phase. You're out there, they're practicing, they're doing it. Then you have this 13 to 18 years. But you know what? It is so different than the 0 to 5. They're in the game of life, these kids are. And you are in the game of life. And as long as Christ has not returned, we're going to remain in that 13 to 18 year period. But you know what? We have been established. We know whose authority we are under, and that's God's. That's what you establish in that 0 to 5. And we know that His Word is there to train us. So as teenagers, we have got to continue to do the things and practice the things that God has called us to do in this game of life. We have got to use our gifts. Now, some of you may have grown up with nobody ever giving you anything. Some of you may have grown up with somebody giving you everything. What we have tried to do with our children was a little of both. They know what it's like not to have anything in some areas. And they know what it's like for mom and dad to be able to bless them in some areas. But there's some things, when they were teenagers, they had to get a job if they wanted to have extra spending money. They had to do some of those things. Now, I personally believe there are better children or young adults now for that. But they put their gifts into practice during those teen years that allowed them now to be productive adults. Still working on Luke. He's still in college. Could give him a few more years. To where he can support himself and do those type of things. aren't pushing that on him yet in any way. Our goal here at Eagles Way Church is for you to find a place to use your gift. Well, I told you I was willing to help do something, and you never came back to me and asked me. I am so sorry that I didn't do that. Especially if you told me on a Sunday morning before a service, if I didn't write it down, I didn't remember it. Let me tell you what I need from you. I need for you to be that mature adult teenager and come back and say, hey, remember I told you such and such? Oh, yeah. This is what I can have you do. Here's an area you can serve. 12-year-olds, I mean, even 0 to 5 and 6, they don't get their feelings hurt. They don't know any better. 12-year-olds get their feelings hurt. Teenagers, young adults, they can handle it. They can go, oh, yeah, they're... You know, your teenager, whether you realize it or not, knows that you're not perfect. Parents, you realize that, right? They know you're not perfect. Don't try to be perfect. I can't tell you the number of times I've had to apologize to my kids for handling something wrong or doing something wrong. But you know, the staff here is not the head of the church. The leadership here may be the head of Eagles Way, but we still need God. God is the only perfect one. I'm going to give you a list. If you have a pencil or paper, you may want to write a couple of these things down. If you don't, you may want to remember a name and call the church office this week. Ask Connie for a phone number. Where can you use your gift? You can use your gift on the coffee and donut team. Wayne and Benita head that up. They schedule people. Matter of fact, we've got somebody now that has committed to, they pick them up every week. They say, we're driving by there. We'll be happy to get them. I don't have to worry about it. They pick them up every week. They bring them. Somebody from the team comes in, puts them out. You could use a few more folks on the list, couldn't you, Wayne? Raise your hand up, Wayne. There's Wayne. Coffee and donut team. Media team. Now, I got to remind you of some things. Identify your gift. Don't try to do something you can't do. There may be some things in the media department that are a little over your head. And that's okay. You don't have to be involved in that one. But you know what? There may be some of you out here that we don't know that can say, man, that's easy. I can do that. We have nobody. Actually, there's somebody there now. David came off stage and is now running lights. Normally, Luke is running our lights or John Henry. Okay, those are the two right now that are running lights. But that's all we have. And running lights is pretty easy back there, David. You just got to click a button, click this button. We can teach you how to. John Henry, it's pretty simple, isn't it? But there's other areas on the media team. EWC Kids. I go, no, don't put me in there. I don't look good in orange. We're going to change the color of the shirt soon. Everybody giving a little makes it easy. When only one or two give, it makes it long and drawn out. Think about. I can't tell you, because I've had the privilege to be in youth ministry and in children's ministry. Jennifer and I have done that for years. And I can't tell you the number of kids, young adults, that came back and said, in that service, you said this to me, and it changed my life. But what I want you to hear is not everyone gets the opportunity for those words to come back to you. But how many times does that happen? Converge Youth Ministry. Brian needs good workers that can relate to young people. He doesn't need anybody there that's going to get the whip out and snatch him up. But Bobby Joe has gotten involved, and different ones, Danny and Stacy, have been involved. But as time goes on and things change, those people move into different areas and do different things. That may be an area. Our women's ministry. Now, we don't have, quote unquote, a set leader, but Linda Kendrick and Penny Doss and Sharon Stevens, and there's a good group of core of those folks that are kind of over that. If you want to get involved in the women's ministry, they do biscuits twice a month. How many of you eat a biscuit on the first or third Sunday? Okay, give a little, throw your dollar in the bucket, or $100. Some people throw $100 in there. Be surprised. Women's ministry, they do other projects and events. They've got a big event coming up in January, is it? January or February? January. Another big event coming up in January. Now's the time to get on board for something like that. Our Just One Outreach ministry. Mike Thurston is over that. Just One Outreach encompasses One Harvest, a food ministry. Do you know who's pretty much running our One Harvest food ministry right now? Judy Smith. Judy, raise your hand. Count on her every month. She's there dispersing food. Now, somebody goes and gets it and drops it off, but she's responsible for that aspect of it. Did you know right now, without Judy, we would not have a One Harvest food ministry? There would be people within our community that could not get food at a discounted rate. Because we need... Now, Judy, did you go on vacation? Where'd you go? California? Okay. She wasn't here that month. We were scrambling. Because we didn't have a list of people say, hey, will you handle this? We had to scramble. Still accomplished it, but it'd be nice if Judy wasn't feeling well one morning and had somebody you could call and say, would you do it? Instead of having to be here because she doesn't know if she can call anybody else except her Pastor Will. And you know what? Every time she calls me, I'm so sorry for bothering you. Judy, you are not bothering me. Thank you for what you do. Russian Hope, Soup Kitchen, Spalding Samaritans, all fall under our Just One Outreach. Ushers, Jim Lewis and Tommy Ray Goolsby are over the ushers ministry, the guys that stand and hand out bulletins, or ladies, it doesn't have to be guys, take up the offering. The info booth, Donna Wilson is responsible for that. Anybody see Donna this morning? Is she here? I didn't see her earlier this morning. I'm not exactly sure why she couldn't be here. She usually, a lot of times, gives me a phone call when she knows she can't be here. So our info booth this morning was unmanned by anybody that had any knowledge of what was transpiring, because Dr. Keith was in Jacksonville doing treatment. Pastor Bierman was on vacation. Okay? Someone within this church probably has the gift of hospitality and can encourage people and remember the information that needs to be given. Prison ministry, Tommy Ray's over that. Our Angel Tree Christmas project, and we'll take just a second on this, because this is, it's not new. We did it a little bit last year, but we are hitting it full force this year. The Angel Tree Christmas project has to do with prison fellowship, and we've got a video next week that we're going to show, gives you a little more details and things about it. My understanding is that Salvation Army here in town also calls theirs Angel Tree, so I don't want there can be some confusion in that aspect of it. But what we are doing is providing a present, a gift, this year to 125 children that their parent is incarcerated. Prison Fellowship has gathered the information from the prisoner. And the prisoner said they obviously can't do it from where they're at. And so we are going to not only give them a present, that present will be equivalent to $25. Give them a present, but then we're going to invite them to a Christmas party where the love of Christ can be shared with them. The women's ministry is taking this on. Leah Kendrick is kind of spearheading that, even though I think... Lauren, are you helping her with that a little bit? Okay, there'll be a few others that'll be involved with that aspect of it, but those details are coming. They've committed to us 25 times 120, 125, what did I tell you? 125. It's a significant amount of... But to this house, when people get involved and they use your gift, their gifts, it's easy. We do some special events around here, kind of on an annual basis. There's Back to School Bash. There's Doc Holliday Festival now on an annual basis. 1 to 2 cookouts a year that we do. Wednesday night meals sometimes. We have a Thanksgiving meal that'll be coming up at the, is it the 16th of November? Whatever that, somewhere in that range. We have church work days twice a year. We get involved in the community, a day of caring. What is your part? What is your gift? How are you going to use that? As the band is coming, we're going to move into a time of what's called, we call the Sacrament of Healing. Jacob so wonderfully explained this morning during worship the spiritual side of that Sacrament of Healing. That healing that we need to receive to get through a situation or to move on in Christ. There's physical healing. Whether there's something specifically wrong that's going on that you know about, or maybe there's some unknown physical going on that you're not sure what's causing. There's emotional healing. That's dealing with the mind, will, and emotion aspect of maybe trauma that has happened in your life. Or the whatever the case may be. So what I want to do is everyone stand. And we just want to open these altars right here. We want to invite you that if you need healing physically, or if you need healing emotionally, if you need healing spiritually, to come stand right across the front here and let us pray for you. You are all I need.
thing